The final case we will be discussing under the topic of the right to refuse treatment is Sell versus United States, which was decided in the U.S. Supreme Court in 2003. The question before the court was whether antipsychotic drugs could be forced on defendants facing serious criminal charges to restore their competency to stand trial. In this case, Dr. Charles Sell, a dentist with a history of a psychotic disorder, was charged with mail fraud, Medicaid fraud, and money laundering. He was subsequently charged with attempting to murder the FBI agent who had arrested him and a former employee who planned to testify against him in the fraud case. The charges were all joined for one trial. In 1999, Dr. Sell was found incompetent to stand trial and hospitalized for restoration at the United States Medical Center for Federal Prisoners in Springfield, Missouri. He refused to take antipsychotic medications. A federal magistrate approved the involuntary administration of medication to Dr. Sell, which was upheld by the medical center's administrative review. Dr. Sell appealed to the district court, which affirmed the decision. A divided panel on the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals affirmed the district court's judgment. They concluded that Dr. Sell could be medicated involuntarily, but they focused solely on the serious fraud charges and not on the charges of attempted murder. The appeal was taken by Dr. Sell to the U.S. Supreme Court. In a 6-3 decision authored by Justice Breyer, the Supreme Court held that medication to restore competency for serious offenses could be administered involuntarily under certain circumstances. First, prior to administering involuntary medication to restore trial competency, the government should determine if the defendant is dangerous or unable to make their own medical decisions and pursue these avenues before involuntary medication first. If the patient is not dangerous and is competent to refuse medications, then involuntary medication to restore trial competency for serious criminal charges is permissible if the treatment is medically appropriate, substantially unlikely to have side effects that may undermine the trial's fairness, and considering less intrusive alternatives is necessary to further important government interests. In reaching its decision, the court cited two previous landmark cases, Washington v. Harper and Riggins v. Nevada. To refresh your memory, Harper recognized inmates' protected liberty interests in avoiding unwanted administration of antipsychotic drugs and held that the Due Process Clause permits involuntary administration of medications to an inmate with serious mental illness if the inmate is dangerous and the treatment is in the inmate's best medical interests. In the dicta in the Riggins case, the court suggested that involuntary medication to restore competency to stand trial could be permissible if the adjudication of the charges could not be achieved by less intrusive means. The Supreme Court held that involuntary medication for the purposes of competency restoration should only occur rarely, and that the following conditions had to be satisfied. 1. An important government interest is at stake. 2. The medication must significantly further the state's interests and must be substantially likely to render the defendant competent to stand trial and substantially unlikely to have side effects that would interfere significantly with the defendant's ability to assist counsel. 3. A less intrusive means must be considered and medication must be necessary to further state interests. And 4. The medication must be medically appropriate. Note that there is an emphasis on the medication's potential impacts on the defendant's competency itself. The Supreme Court also found that the Eighth Circuit Court erred in approving medication solely to render Dr. Sell competent to stand trial because they did not consider medication side effects and how they could have impacted trial fairness. They also did not consider the length of time that Dr. Sell had been confined and how that would impact government interests. The Supreme Court sent the case back to the trial court to make a decision as to whether Dr. Sell would be medicated against his will in order to restore his competency to stand trial. Justices Scalia, O'Connor, and Thomas dissented, opining that the circuit court did not have jurisdiction to hear this case and should have dismissed it because the district court never delivered an opinion. The dissent emphasized that the court's ruling would, quote, allow criminal defendants to engage in opportunistic behavior and, quote, hold up the trial for months, close quote, by involuntarily taking their medication until halfway through trial, then abruptly refuse and demand an appeal from the order that medication continue on a compulsory basis. Interestingly, Mr. Sell ended up pleading guilty in an Alford plea in 2005 before the trial court had the opportunity to rule whether he was eligible for forced medication. His plea was not contested, even though his attorneys still thought he was not competent to stand trial.